Well, it's good to be home. For those of you that I haven't met, my name is Father Michael Casaubon. I'm a priest of the Diocese of Charleston, almost for 8 years now, and I am a native son of this parish and a graduate of the school. Just 2 weeks ago, I was here, not for Sunday Mass, but for an ordination, the ordination of two men to the priesthood, one of whom is also a native son of the parish, Roger Morgan. And this weekend, Father Roger, celebrates his first weekend of Masses at his new parish at Our Lady Star of the Sea in North Myrtle Beach, which happened to be my old job. So he took my job. So I have no job, and I have no home. So Father Newman took pity upon me and let me celebrate these sacred mysteries with you. Now, I have a job in mind, but it involves sitting in that chair on a permanent basis. You can imagine your dear pastor's reaction to that. In all truth, I will be an administrator in the greater Charleston area. I can't announce it yet because the people there don't realize they're getting a new pastor. So please remember them in your prayers today. In the gospel, Jesus, our Lord, gives us a parable. He likes to do this, speaking in parables. Our Lord is a brilliant teacher. And one of the true marks of a good teacher is someone who can take complex realities and describe them in simple terms, to take that which is unfamiliar and make it familiar so that it can be understood and so that it can be integrated into their minds and into their hearts. And that's exactly what the Lord is doing when he describes something called the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God is a frequent phrase we find in the Gospels, especially Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And even though the kingdom of God is mentioned many, many times, about 100, it can still appear to be kind of an elusive, nebulous concept. And so that's why the Lord Jesus is using these very tangible figures and images and analogies, these parables, to help the people understand what he's getting at. And in this case, we hear the very well-known parable of the mustard seed that grows into the largest of plants. What is the kingdom of God? One of the reasons that the kingdom of God is, as I said, elusive is because it's not like a kingdom or a state or a nation of this earth. Remember when the Lord says to Pilate, he says, "My kingdom is not of this world." The kingdom of God has no geographical dimension. It has no territory. You can't point to it and say, "There it is. It's over there." It's not evident or obvious who are citizens of the kingdom of God. They don't print their own money. They don't fund their own armies. It's an invisible, intangible reality. But nevertheless, something very real. So what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is like a state of affairs, a state of being, in which all things are ordered to God, in which God is at the center as the supreme good, and all of creation has ordered itself to that supreme good. And that order promotes justice, promotes harmony, promotes peace, promotes well-being and happiness. And this ordering is not the kind of ordering of a cold mathematical order, but it is ordered by the one who is himself love. And so the ordering of all things to God doesn't just mean getting a bunch of people and standing them in line and making sure everything is perfect, but it is ordered to the one who is love, the supreme love, and all goods are oriented to that supreme good, who is God. The kingdom of God is all around us. It is within us. And the kingdom of God is personified, not by an it, but by a he. The kingdom of God is personified by the Lord Jesus. Because in the Lord Jesus, in his very divine person that has taken human nature, in him is the perfect ordering of creation to God. Now, in Adam, our first father, we find in his original sin, the sin in which he said, "My will be done, not thy will," the sin that echoes in our hearts every time we choose to go the path that Frank Sinatra put so well, "I did it my way," that every time we do that, we introduce disorder into the world. We introduce chaos into the world when we choose other goods besides God, when we choose other kings, when we choose other gods. And that disorder, that chaos that enters into the world due to sin, brings about what we experience as suffering and death. But God does not give up on us. And so he sends us a new Adam. A new Adam who takes upon himself human nature and reorders in himself a fallen world, reorients us to God the Father. As we do with this Mass, as we enter into this orientation to God, this reordering brings about a renewal of harmony and a rebirth of life. Now, the Word of God took on a body. First, because material creation is something that was created by God to be good. And secondly, because our God became one of us, like in all things, but sin. And this idea of the kingdom of God personified in the Word of God, this idea that that Word takes on a body, I think, gets at this thing about the mustard seed. You know, in the first reading, the prophet Ezekiel says that the Lord will plant a seed on the mountain heights of Israel. Well, what is the glory of Israel? What is the mountain of Israel? What is the boast of the people of Israel? It's Mary, the one chosen. And in Mary, the mountain heights of Israel, a seed is planted by the power of the Holy Spirit, a seed which is smaller than a mustard seed. Because the Word of God, who created the universe, begins his existence as a human being, as we all did, as a zygote, smaller than a mustard seed. He, of course, grows into a man, but after his death and resurrection, something else happens. His body is no longer simply a physical body. Because at the descent of the Holy Spirit upon the disciples of the Lord in the upper room, the Holy Spirit does something in which he opens up the body of Christ and makes accessible the body of Christ to the disciples of Christ. That is, the disciples of Christ, by the power of the Spirit, the disciples of Christ are now able to call themselves members of his body, the body of Christ. The church is identified as that mystical body of Christ, and each of us as individuals, members of that body. This is accomplished by faith and by the sacraments. In baptism, we're plunged into that mystery, into the death and resurrection of the Lord. And at the Eucharist, we again and again become one with that body. So now that body of Christ, now that body of Christ is identified with the sprawling church that extends now in 2015 to every nook and cranny on this planet. And see, this is what it means, that the body of Christ, which is the personification of the kingdom, which began as a seed smaller than a mustard seed, now grows to the largest of plants and allows for the shade of every bird under heaven. Because now the church, the body of Christ, now the church incorporates people of every tribe and tongue and of every race and nation. And it keeps growing. And it keeps growing and growing until every human heart is reached by the saving love of our Lord Jesus. This is the kingdom of God in motion. That makes us very special, of course, but it really makes us very responsible. That we have become members of the body of Christ, that we have become citizens of the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, and we are now responsible to be the presence of Christ to others. Do we show up for others as the presence of Christ? Do we take up our responsibility as citizens of the kingdom? This church thing that we do isn't meant to be a club, isn't meant to be a special society, isn't meant simply to make us feel good about ourselves. This church thing that we do on Sunday is meant to empower and nourish us with the sacraments of grace so that we can extend that kingdom beyond these four walls. Oftentimes, we forget that the graces we receive at this Mass are not just for us. The graces we receive at this Mass actually are very much connected with the final blessing. And I harp on this all the time at my other parish as I see people leave early because they need to get to Denny's or wherever they're going. And I say, it's at the final blessing that you are now, as the body of Christ, as citizens of the kingdom, that now you are being commissioned to go forth and to be sent out and to extend those graces and that kingdom into your family and into your workplace and into every aspect of your lives. The real work of the church is your work, and it's not in these walls. It's out there. Being citizens of the kingdom means that we are drafted into this mission. The blessings that God gives us, the gifts that God gives us, are not meant just for us, but they're meant to be extended. Let us decide if we are ready to take up the call of our citizenship, the responsibility of being the body of Christ. Because at the end of the day, my brothers and sisters, that is the only thing that's really going to make us happy. That's really going to give us peace or joy. There's no other kingdom in this world that can satisfy the longings of our hearts. So let's decide. Let's decide to belong to His kingdom.